Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for March the 11th of the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. We absolutely stand by, dedicate ourselves to the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. It is the blueprint for liberty. It should be the political religion of our nation. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And furthermore, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. Get involved. The founders said you have a republic if you can keep it, and that meant a good, honest, moral people standing up for the sacred cause of liberty and jealously guarding the delegated powers we've given them, meaning the branches of government, vertical and horizontal, by our consent. And if they're taking power into themselves they should not have, we need to say, hey, you know what? We're not giving our consent to that. We need to stand up nobly, boldly, and independently for the sacred cause of liberty. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Hope you're doing absolutely fantastic. By the way, a recap of yesterday's show is in order. It all starts now. We had our guest on, Mr. Larry Pratt. We discussed all things liberty. We discussed the Liberty Roundtable Twitter account. My account got shut down, folks. Liberty Round TBL. They say it's a Twitter violation at Liberty Round TBL. Under this policy, they say we require the removal of content that may pose a risk to people's health, including content that goes directly against guidance from, quote, authoritative sources of global and local public health information. Now, I've got a problem with this because the violation content that I put forth was a report. It says vaccine death rate for Israel's elderly, 40 times higher than COVID-19 deaths. Okay? Yeah, Israel's elderly experiencing death from vaccines 40 times higher than the vaccine deaths themselves. You say, well, wait a minute. Is that fake news? What? Folks, Patrick Bellany, I think is how you say the name. Patrick Delany. LifeSiteNews.com wrote the article. All right. It was also in Israel's national news. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is serious. And I went on this, maybe some would say, for way too long. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, can I report on what happened there? The doctor that, highlighted this research wrote an article. He's a well-known, well-recognized physician with over 100 published medical publications. And this doctor then also dovetails his research with a huge group of doctors. And just because they don't go along with the mainstream narrative, somehow, I don't get it, but somehow, they're not allowed to have their view. All right? This is serious. The guy's name is Seligman. He has a biology degree. All right. Anyway, long article. But this guy's for real. And Twitter's shutting me down because I'm reporting that side of the story. All right. And the interesting thing is I reported the ivermectin as a great solution, a great wonder drug to get rid of COVID and to reduce COVID. And you know what? They might shut me down for that, too. But you know what? There was a team of doctors that testified before the Senate on this. That's well known also. So can we tell the other side of the story, or is it no in America? All right. We also talked about how do we nullify federal gun control. That's coming your way, ladies and gentlemen. We also talked about welcome to Operation Choke Point 2.0. Second hour, we talked about a Stanford doctor, Jay Bhattacharya. Lockdowns are the biggest public health mistake ever. Yeah, catastrophic harms will be felt for a generation, he says. Art Moore wrote the article for WND.com. He says, I stand behind my comment that the lockdowns are the single worst public health mistake in the last 100 years, he continues. He said we will be counting the catastrophic health and psychological harms imposed on nearly every poor person on the face of the earth for a generation. That is a huge, bold statement from a Stanford doctor. He talked about the Great Barrington Declaration. It's received signatures from more than 13,000 medical and public health scientists. More than 41,000 medical practitioners and at least 750,000 concerned Americans. Can I report that? Huh? That's a very serious question. We also talked about nearly 200 academics with beliefs from across the political spectrum launched a new organization that will defend free speech for college faculty, and will also provide legal assistance in cases where academic freedom is threatened. It's called the Academic Freedom Alliance, AFA, AFA. All right? So even the professors, which free speech has been violated on campuses more than any other place. What do you expect for the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, huh? I digress. Anyway, very interesting how even the collegiate folks are having their free speeches or free speech compromised and railroaded to the umpteenth degree. It's a huge, huge, huge topic, and it's probably going to get much worse before it gets better, ladies and gentlemen. I don't mean to be negative about this. I'm just telling you right now, you got to see the writing on the wall. The Joe administration is out of control, okay? And they are coming for you. They're taking off the gloves. Socialism, communism, stifling your First Amendment, all five guarantees is at hand. And unless you and I, we the people, stand up and say we don't give consent to that, remember, they derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. If we don't stand up and say we're not giving consent for you to crack down on people and their free speech and their thought and their ability to worship how, where, what they may, their ability to freely assemble, their ability to sue for a redress of grievance. If you don't stand for those things, we're going to fire you. All right, Rush Limbaugh's death certificate lists him as the greatest radio talk shows host of all time. Number or hashtag Rip Rush. MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell fighting with the establishment media and government as well. Mike Lindell, barred from Twitter as I am, says a new social media platform is coming where people will be able to talk and not walk on eggshells. I pray he's right, but I don't know if he understands. You know what? They've got control of the choke points of the internet, too. You think you've heard a lot with Operation Choke Point 2.0, choking out financial wherewithal and ability to charge credit cards for businesses and groups they disagree with, right? Well, just wait till it's Internet Choke Point 2.0. They can literally turn off anything they want to. There's only a few providers that provide the DNS servers that matter around the world, and there's only a few big providers that control the backbone of the Internet. You don't believe me? Go study and figure it out. I've been in IT for a long time, and I'm telling you right now, this engineered big tech has been going on for decades under the hands of government, Pentagon, black money operations, in bed with universities and in bed with big tech companies. They built Google. They built Facebook. They built Twitter. They built Amazon. They built and funded with our tax dollars all these companies that are now abusing us. And then Congress is ignorantly complaining about it like they're going to stop it. Folks, understand they built the internet with a kill switch. So don't think that you can build your own whatever you want, because, ladies and gentlemen, if they don't want you to do it, it won't happen. And I'm not trying to be rude to Michael, but I am telling him that he better understand this. RNC to Trump. So listen to this. The former president of the United States, Donald Trump, the RNC, that's the Republican National Committee, right? The RNC says to Trump, no, we're not going to stop using your name and your likeness to raise money. Donald Trump's attorneys sent a cease and desist letter to the RNC, said, quit using my name, quit fundraising under my name. And the Republican swamp is saying, no, we hate you, and we've tried to get rid of you forever, and we finally succeeded by partnering with the Democrats in a coup d'etat. But you know what? We're not going to quit using your name. Your name brings in cash, baby. So they hate Donald, but they're going to continue using his name, even if his attorneys file a cease and desist letter. Do you see how out of control the swamp has become, folks? It is crazy town. Former Democratic Hawaii rep Tulsi Gabbard laid into the cancel culture during a Tuesday evening appearance on Fox News. Prime time, doing a great job. It isn't Republican and Democrat at war, folks. It's us against the swamp, and good for Tulsi. 12 state attorney generals sued Joe Biden over his first executive order. We'll talk about that in seconds on your radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, finishing up yesterday's show recap before our guest jumps online. 12 state attorney generals sue Joe Biden over his first executive order aimed at climate change. They say he lacked the constitutional authority to implement new rules about greenhouse gases. Republican state attorneys general from the following 12 states: Arkansas, Arizona, Indiana, Kansas, Montana, Nebraska, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Utah. Join the lawsuit, ladies and gentlemen. Good for those attorney generals. I commend them for their efforts. We need more of that because it's true. Donald or Whacked Out Joe does not have authority, ladies and gentlemen, at all. And we need to insist on the checks and balances, not only vertically, but horizontally. So these are the states telling the Fed, hey, wait a minute, there's dual sovereignty here and you can't just do that. And they're absolutely spot on. And the more we use the checks and balances, the more we'll stop folks from stealing power they have no right to, that we haven't given consent to, as we, the people, the ultimate sovereigns. All right, final tidbit. Disney Plus quietly pulls Dumbo, Peter Pan, The Aristocrats, and Swiss Family Robinson from children's accounts and added warnings, warning labels to the parents' accounts saying, hey, these things are racist and, you know, they're abusive. But don't worry. Most people are just shutting down in the cancel culture. But Disney wants a special place in the cancel culture. What they want to do is yank it from kids' accounts, put a warning on parents' accounts, and then they say, we're not really taking this content down because we want you to watch our movies, but then use it to educate your children about how, you know what, America used to be a racist time. So they want to basically, in my opinion, create a revisionist historical reality where only racism is focused on. Did we have some bad times in America and some bad behavior? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we did. But is that the only narrative we should highlight, as if that was the whole of the thing? No, the founders were wonderful people. They were born into a racist society, and they did their very best to jettison that narrative. Proof, all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with unalienable rights. Okay, the founders understood it, but you can't solve it in a generation or a day. Anyway, Disney wants to promote it, get their movies watched, and they don't want to really take it all the way down like the rest of us would be required to do. See, they want to take down everything. But Disney has a special place to not take it down. Let's just highlight that it's racist, but let's perpetuate the racism. But make sure you educate your kids to understand how bad it was back then. Well, here's the real next headline that highlights the reality of this. Business continues to boom for Disney Plus. According to the Hollywood Reporter, Disney CEO, whatever, Bob Chapek, or whatever the guy's name is, Chapek announced that they now have, listen to this, more than 100 million subscribers. So don't upset the 100 million subscribers. Just put a warning label up and keep the cash flowing. And let's try to give ourselves a unique position in the cancel culture. That is that of great educator. For filthy lucre? If it's right to cancel everybody else, it's right to cancel all that, Disney. You can't have your cake and to eat it, too. Brian Rust, RustCoinandGift.com. Welcome back. And economically, what do you think of that, sir?
Thanks for having me on, Sam. It's good to be with you. Yeah, that's kind of a double standard, isn't it? Isn't that kind of what we call that?
Oh, no, sir.
They're
a great educator, and this is Disney. This is Walt.
Oh,
okay. And I was saying, so it's all about education for them. Now, you are a racist. We'll shut you down. But, yeah. It, you know, they need it. It's interesting how they got over 100 million subscribers, and they literally don't want to shut down their movies because that's what attracts everybody to the 100 million, right? And they know full well they can't completely shut it down, so they're just thinking, if we can get away with a warning, then we can act like we're the educator and create a kind of a sweet spot carved out for us economically during the cancel culture. We'll have it both ways for us, and we're big enough to obtain that, see?
That's right. That's right. You know, the powerful, kind of these powerful companies or that, they walk the edge. And so, and then if they step over or if they kind of, oh, hey, sorry, and maybe pay a little fine or whatever, and in most cases probably don't pay any fine, but they're allowed to walk the edge. Anybody else that pushes the other side wants to stay closer to the truth. Like, you know, what you're saying, you get pulled back or remove your accounts and all this, but the big boys can kind of do their own thing and,
I believe I'm one of the greatest true race educators in America, which is, yes, we've got a bad historical past, and we should never repeat the bad elements. We should reject slavery, and we should look at us all as God's children, and we should treat each other as such, and every race should be proud of their culture and heritage. What do you think of them apples?
Right, I think so. I mean, just common sense and good values teach that, right? Okay, yeah, we made mistakes, but that, you know, that's kind of God's plan too, right? You make mistakes, and you're able to go forth and say, okay, I'm sorry, we made mistakes. We're kind of, I guess we call it repentance and so on, and we're not going to do that, and we're going to move forward and still bless the lives of those. But, now it's a whole different narrative. And
regardless of the mistakes that were made, every peoples that have lived in or come to or been involved in the United States of America has been blessed immensely, regardless of the troubled road in which they came here. And the Mormons, the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, have probably been abused more than any other group. I happen to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, nicknamed the Mormons. But I'm not blaming anybody else for Adam's transgression. I'm not asking for reparations. I'm just simply saying, let's make sure we're aware of that historical reality, and let's never repeat it, and let's look forward with faith and hope and stand shoulder to shoulder to bless everyone. And let's make sure we understand our history so we don't repeat the bad parts. But let's move forward in faith and hope and unity. But you know what? That's very difficult to do because they continue to drive the wedge, Brian.
Right, and going on that line is Satan's plan is all about driving that wedge. So if we feel like there's not going to be opposition, we know that's not true. There is going to be opposition, but I think that, like you've said, I mean, we kind of move forward. We've been blessed as a result of moving forward and still trying to be honest and help our neighbors and do all these things. But yet they want to control us. Oh, you don't need to help your neighbor. We'll help your neighbor. You don't need to do it. And they kind of create a divide between us as human beings and conflict I agree. I think we're good people. And we just have to be able to continue to forge ahead without being pushed down.
We're praying for daylight on this subject as well as many others, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah. By the way, speaking of honest money, though, honest weights and measures is what it's called, economically speaking, as well. And what's gold sitting at?
Gold is at $1,731 on
even?
Paper. Yep.
$1,731. Silver?
$26.40.
40 cents. So it's up about 10 cents from last week or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, what was it? Yeah, about 30 cents from last week.
All right, man. Where the heck are some of the other metals?
Well, let's see. You've got platinum's 1211. Palladium is $2,420. And
okay.
Kurt's favorite metal is rhodium is at $23,800. So it's down, about $5,000. But a month ago it was $22,000. So it's up. It's bouncing around a little bit. But
let's
on.
Be clear though. Let's highlight this. The reason that we highlight the rhodium thing is one. It's kind of fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
But two, though, it really provides the reality about metals. Gold and silver are traded on paper so much. And people don't take delivery to where it's kind of fractionalized and manipulated because it's future trading. And as long as you don't have to deliver, there's no halt to the con game, if you will. If they were forced to deliver what they traded in, it would be a meltdown tomorrow. But because they don't, because it's on paper and because it's futures, okay. But rhodium is really not in that reality. They don't trade these rhodium things. They don't manipulate and suppress the numbers and the reality by that. And so it kind of gives us a reality check on the rest of the markets, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. I mean, supply and demand just goes to show it. I mean, without that paper manipulation product, I mean, these big paper companies, your J.P. Morgan, your Goldman Sachs, so, I mean, they're fine $500 million a year. But who cares? They make $5 billion, right? And then they drop it down, play the game, more money in our pocket. Yeah, it hurts all those.
And they get crazy when GameStop goes wonky, huh?
Yeah, exactly right.
It's like, what
we
the
don't
heck?
Like that. That's right. That's right. A double standard there again for those elitists that kind of, well, we can do whatever we want, but you can't. But we can. So, yeah, it's they don't like that game.
Ladies and gentlemen, gold $1,731 even. Silver $26.40. How much does it cost to get me one of them 2021 silver Eagle silver dollars created by the Modern Mint, sir?
They're still selling around that $38 range.
All right, the spread's pretty large for a single dollar, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? All right, hang tight. Brian Rust with us. RustQuinnGift.com on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. You
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A divided House voted 220 to 211 on Wednesday to approve the Senate's revised version of President Biden's $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package, sending the bill to Biden's desk to be signed probably Friday. The bill approves $1,400 stimulus payments for individuals making up to $75,000 and couples making $150,000. It will also extend weekly $300 unemployment insurance until September 6th. The U.S. Senate on Wednesday voted to confirm Michael Reagan as the next administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA. It will play a central role in Biden administration's climate change agenda. The vote in the Senate was 66 to 34 to confirm. 44-year-old Reagan was the head of North Carolina's environmental regulator. Mexico's lower house of Congress on Wednesday approved a bill that would decriminalize marijuana for those 18 and older. Backed by the administration of President Obrador, the Mexico Senate needs to now review and approve the bill. USA Radio News.
It's happened. Since Election Day, more than 5 million people have downloaded the free Newsmax TV app from their smartphone store. It takes seconds, and with the free app, you can watch Newsmax TV right away. Most cable news channels require a paid subscription, not Newsmax. You get real news whenever you want. At home, Newsmax TV is on all major cable systems, and it's free on OTT devices, your smart TVs like Samsung, LG, Vizio, and Roku, YouTube, Zumo, and Pluto. Now, the free smartphone app lets you watch Newsmax easily wherever you are. So check Newsmax.com online for breaking headlines. Then go to the Newsmax TV app to watch the latest news with Sebastian Gorka, Dick Morris, Greg Kelly, Diamond and Silk, Michelle Malkin, Mike Huckabee, Alan Dershowitz, and so much more. Newsmax is already the fourth highest-rated cable news channel in America. Everyone is watching Newsmax because it's real news for real people.
The partisan coronavirus relief bill has added a mountain of debt to the American people. In fact, $5 trillion of debt was added in the last year. Fiscally responsible lawmakers are not happy. Future generations are stuck with paying it back. John Clemens with the Texas USA Radio News Bureau reports.
The measure that was approved by the U.S. Senate March 6th passed in the House 220 to 211. GOP members like Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia called it reckless, irresponsible, and the wrong thing to do because it will enslave future generations to a mountain of debt. Then there was House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy.
It showers money on special interests, but spends less than 9% on actually defeating the virus.
Jody Arrington is from Lubbock, Texas.
It's a $2 trillion blue state boondoggle and a Trojan horse for their reckless partisan policies.
$5,000 billion is $5 trillion. USA Radio News.
This half hour of Liberty Roundtable Live is brought to you in part by RussCoinAndGift.com. Brian Rust and his family have been in the coin business for over 50 years, helping folks understand precious metals and helping people get their act together when it comes to their financial portfolio. Take possessions of the metals is what Brian Rust would say. Hey, if you take possession, then you know you actually have it. If you do it on paper, you may never be able to take delivery, ladies and gentlemen. That's the point. And if you want to get a hold of Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com, you can learn about precious metals, and he can guide you to the places that can provide a hedge and stability. If you want to get into metal to get rich, Brian is not your guy. If your goal is to steadily improve your wealth and create a safety net and a hedge against the volatile markets out there, then Brian is your guy. Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com, and he's with me now. Gas prices, Brian, expected to rise over the next few weeks. So you're going to get a big old stimulus check from your government. But don't worry, buddy. It'll pay for that extra gas cost for you, my friend.
That's right. Yeah, there you go. I'm looking forward to that. Huh? No, well, not really, but that's the truth. Gas prices are going up. And problem is we can't keep, they can't keep pouring out these stimulus monies. They can. I mean, there's enough people saying, hey, I like this free money. I can do a lot. But, you know, eventually it's going to hit the fan, and someone's going to pay this back. And is it us? Is it our kids? Is it, you know, as they said, reckless spending doesn't ever come off.
I'm gonna be Kurt Crosby for a second, Brian.
Yeah.
A, they're talking about $15 minimum wage in the biggest, what, government redistribution of wealth and spend, socialist spend in modern times since the Great Depression. They failed to get the minimum wage passed. But why don't we just give everybody $100 an hour? Why do we stop at the $1.9 trillion stimulus? Why not just give everybody $100 an hour? And get, why not just go for like a, I don't know, maybe $190 trillion stimulus or so? And why not just make it big, buddy? And it demonstrates the absurd by being absurd, but it highlights the reality of the point being made, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it's just, well, you know, and it's, I mean, they're going to push, they're pushing that $15, and eventually, they, you know, as long as they keep pushing and push, it seems like anytime they push and they don't get it, they don't get their way and push, eventually they keep pushing and eventually they get their way, it seems like. You know, we try to fight back, and if we fight back, we're all racist or we're all whatever they're going to call us at that point. But, you know, it has dire effects. I mean, you know, this COVID, you know, they say, well, here's this COVID relief. Well, if we want to really look at this, you know, the issues at hand, how many of these businesses just aren't coming back? They're just, you know, they've affected our economy. They just aren't coming back. Well, I'm sure those people would love to pay their employees $15 an hour, but they're no longer around to even to do that. Now they're trying to find a job, and they're trying to, so, you know, it's just reckless on all aspects of kind of this, these plans that kind of keep forward. And if you put the $15 an hour minimum wage, how many other businesses can affect or afford? But if you don't pay it, well, I guess you're just going to be out of business because here's the law now. You got
to
do it.
Well, the effects of the coronavirus has turned out to be the great business COVID divide. What happened is the small businesses couldn't stay open and couldn't handle it. The big businesses grew and literally took market share and got massive stimulus payments and everything else. And the small guy, for the most part, got the beating and the shutdown. So what we've really done is we've created, you know, pulled the lever of government, move, picked winners and losers. Small business fails, big business thrives. Just ask Disney to make the point. Now the headline says Senate Democrats passed pork bill, $1.9 trillion COVID bill, by circumventing the Republicans. Now, I don't think it's that simple of a divide, although in the votes it is, because no Republicans voted for it. One Democrat dissented, but the rest stuck together. It was as partisan as it gets. The next headline, Congress passes Biden's $1.9 trillion aid bill. And I guess what happened is they passed it in the House because they went to the reconciliation plan, which means they didn't have to have the supermajority of 60 to pass it. They could get a small majority and pass it. And now they're sending it to Donald Trump for his signatures, or for a signature. Donald, I'm not Donald. Wow. Biden says he'll sign it on Friday. They say it's one of the largest injections of federal aid since the Great Depression, sir. Joe said he looked forward to signing on Friday at the White House. So there you have that. Now listen to this, though, Brian. Union bosses get an $86 billion bailout in the new COVID bill.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
$28.6 billion included for restaurants. Now, my response is just don't shut down the restaurants and you don't need all that money. They say the bill is estimated to slash poverty by a third this year and potentially cut child poverty in half. I don't think that's true. I think it'll hand our children the debt. They say with expansions of tax credits through aid for mortgage and rental assistance, it has widespread support among the American people. So the Republicans said it's bad. But believe it or not, Americans, 70% favoring this in a Pew Research poll. The measure will provide $350 billion for state, local, and tribal governments. So government gets really a huge percentage of it. $10 million for critical state infrastructure projects, $14 billion for the distribution of vaccines, $130 billion to primary and secondary schools. The bill also includes $30 billion for transit agencies, $45 billion in rental, utility, and mortgage assistance programs, billions more for small businesses and live performance venues. They say it provides another round of direct payments to the American people. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, Brian. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's reckless. It's very reckless. I mean, my business is like, as I go out and if I have to borrow, but if I can't pay back, and I just keep borrowing, eventually I'm not going to be around. I just, you know, but the big, but I think, you know, you, if we pay attention, I mean, the government, they don't care. I mean, really, they don't care because it's not their money. We're going to take it from everybody else. We're going to, that money is coming from somewhere. And they're in pretty good positions where it's not going to hurt me. But, I, you know, there's a lot of people in our country who, yeah, the money probably could help them. But how long can it help them? How, you know, if we would, you know, it's kind of like if we look at the situation, you know, we make changes where we need to make changes. We don't shut down the economy. You know, Larvita, she's trying to stand up for her business, and so this is my livelihood. So I think we need to look at this instead of just, yeah, here's some this, that, and the other. But Larvita, we don't want you to open. We don't want you to do this because, well, eventually now she's out. Now she's relying on the government to help her to even survive. It's just a mess, if you ask me, instead of doing it the right way, you know.
Well, ask Kirk Cosby and say, other than that, it's not so bad. But it is going to get worse, ladies and gentlemen, because Senator Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania, he was on Fox, and he warned that congressional Democrats could take a shot at enacting a carbon tax in the name of mitigating so-called anthropogenic climate now that they have majorities in both chambers and the presidency. So they're literally looking at creating a I don't know what you call it, environmental impact tax or a climate change tax or whatever else. And on one hand, you think they won't get it done, ladies and gentlemen, but they don't need a single Republican to get it done. Brian?
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. We're going to see more and more of this because they could care less about the other side. They're just going to do what they need to. They can get the votes they need to. And they'll ask the other side, you know, look, a few of you need to vote for us, and we'll help you along the way. I mean, it's just kind of that good old boy club up there. And it's ugly, in my opinion. But they're going to pass a lot more things just because they can.
What do we do, Brian?
Well, we hold on to good good morals and our, you know, try to be the kind people we are, but forge ahead and raise our hand and try to educate. You're doing a great job. I think more and more people need to kind of buy on, you know, listen and try to participate. But I think it's going to get ugly going forward, you know. And
here's what I would do, ladies and gentlemen. I would create a financial hedge first against the manipulating economy, whether it be a climate tax, whether it be increased gas prices, whether it be a job loss. I don't know what's coming down the pike. I can't read the future. But what I can say is stability is always a good thing. And if you get with Brian at RussQuinnandGift.com, what I'd recommend is every other month, 1 month buy a silver Eagle silver dollar, $38, right? All right. Then the other month, in my opinion, buy the equivalent or a little bit more in dimes and quarters. And that way you're going to have a hedge of smaller pieces of money to exchange when necessary. You'll have the silver Eagle silver dollars generating real wealth. And in my opinion, at least from a precious metals point of view, from a portfolio point of view, that's probably the smartest move that I can think of right now. Brian, final word's yours. I know you got to fly.
Well, I think you're right, Sam. I think that can go good with all that food. Just a lot of, you know, peace of mind comes with storage of financial and every other amenity we need.
We'll talk soon, brother. Godspeed.
Thank you. Great job.
RussQuinnandGift.com on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Every week, Brian gives the Honest Money Update on Liberty Roundtable live.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow men, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting talk always at your fingertips. 6 days a week, we tell the tale of freedom. On the seventh, we rest as the good Lord asked us to do. We're doing our best to promote God, family, and country, ladies and gentlemen. We're doing our best to tell the tale of God, family, and country. It is about those simple six realities, ladies and gentlemen. If you promote God, family, and country, and you protect life, liberty, and property, you are a freedom fighter. You are a liberty lover. You are a what do you call it? Advocate, in my opinion, for the greatest things on earth that matter. It is about God and repentance. It is about family and support for one another to make it through this life. And it is about country, which allows us to have the proper balance between liberty and those who would try to steal it. You know what? It's a vacuum of power in societies, in reality. And you got to have something prevent the bad guys from filling that vacuum. Is government perfect? Far from. Is government necessary? Absolutely. The libertarians and the anarchists would disagree with me. But time has proven that we've got to have a balance. And even though our government is not perfect, and even though there's a lot to point to that's negative, there's a lot to point to that's wonderful. Every day you could peacefully walk down the street. You don't get raped or molested or abused or whatever else, with rare exception. You have the ability to save money and prosper and grow and have plenty of food. And that's just a blessing and a half. And every day we can keep that. It is a good day, ladies and gentlemen. All right, man. Gas prices expected to rise over the next couple of weeks. Beware of that. Senate Democrats passed pork-filled $1.9 trillion COVID bill by circumventing Republicans. It's a shame. Republicans are crying in outrage. But you know what? No offense to the Republicans. You've been part of the swamp for too long, too. You guys had every chance to make some fundamental changes, but you didn't do it. Okay? When the Republicans had control of the House, the Senate, the White House, the courts, they didn't get rid of any government programs. Okay? They might have spent less than the belligerent, you know what, drunken sailor mentality of the Democrats. I get it. But you know what? They've been spending and getting and manipulating and as much as the Republicans or the Democrats have. It's just a whose mousetrap do you like best, the Democrats or the Republicans? And I like the constitutional reality the best. Congress passes Biden's $1.9 trillion aid bill in a vote of 220 to 211. One Democrat said no. All the rest said yes. Republicans, none of them said yes. Good for them, but again, I don't think that they have set the stage for really downsizing government is the point. So they complain because the Democrats are just drunken sailors and they're like, oh, wait a minute, you can't spend the whole treasury. What are you talking about? We're in debt to the tune of, what, admitted $25 plus trillion? And growing at an alarming rate, but they haven't done anything to really slow it down. In fact, Rand Paul tried to create a money budget plan. It was a penny plan to reduce 1%. One penny out of a dollar. And when the Republicans had control of everything, Rand Paul was putting this together and everybody literally ignored him. They mocked him. They ignored him. They didn't do it. So I get that the Republicans are howling because we're spending too much money, and that's a sad tale to tell. But the Republicans aren't far behind. They're just Democrat light. That's all they are. Senator Pat Toomey warning that, hey, they're going to push for a, quote, climate tax. They could take a shot at enacting a carbon tax in the name of mitigating so-called anthropogenic climate now, because they have both houses, right? And the Republicans really couldn't stop it. So beware, it's a coming. Write it down. Patrick Toomey warned against it, and I'm warning against it as well. Climate change is at the top of Joe's list. Why? Well, I told you it's about promoting God, family, and country, right? It violates all those. I said it's about protecting life, liberty, and property, and it's about all those too. Joe's on a bender, folks, with his communist and socialist partners in crime. Kamala is one great example to make the point. Now, you say, wait a minute, Sam, you can't make charges about their communism. And yes, I can have my opinion, to which I'm entitled. This is America, not China. Do we believe in freedom of speech or not, baby? Are we going to stand up for it, or are we going to just cave? Are we going to mums the word? Are we going to create a chat plan in society to, well, you don't dare talk to your neighbor because, by golly, they'll turn you in? Are we going to create snitch, Operation Snitch on Your Neighbor 2.02? Along with Operation Choke Point, shutting down all conservatives? Are we going to go that far in America, folks, or are we going to stand up and stop it, huh? All right, don't worry. It's all good, because daylight savings time is this weekend, folks. And the debate about daylight savings time continues. That's for sure. What do you think of daylight savings time, ladies and gentlemen? Do you love it? Do you hate it? We got an annual ritual in America of early March. We leap forward. Spring forward is what they call it, right? It's coming this Sunday at 2 a.m., the change to daylight savings time. So what do? You move forward and lose an hour? Is that how it goes? While some people love the daylight at the end of the day, as the weather warms, others bemoan the loss of an hour of sleep, right? 15 states, ladies and gentlemen, have enacted legislation to make daylight savings time and or standard time year-round, so we wouldn't switch back and forth. Some are saying, let's keep it daylight savings time. Others are saying, let's keep it standard time. But the bills across the country that have been passed by state legislative bodies are saying, we don't care if it's daylight savings time or standard time. Let's just quit this psychotic view of switching back and forth twice a year over and over. It's crazy town. Now, let me tell you the 15 states that have said we would like to stop changing time every 6 months. California, Florida, Delaware, Louisiana, Maine, Oregon, Idaho, South Carolina, Tennessee, Utah, Washington, Arkansas, Georgia, Ohio, and Wyoming. Those are the states that have said, hey, we would like to jettison this daylight savings time switch. The stumbling block for fans of year-round daylight savings time is the Federal Uniform 1966 Uniform Time Act. Did you know we have one of those at your federal government, ladies and gentlemen? Did you know we had a federal 1966 Uniform Time Act? I kid you not, it exists. And so those who want to just stick with daylight savings time year-round is that you can't have that because of this 1966 Act. It became law, they say, because of the way the states had kind of been observing daylight savings time randomly. In other words, all over the country, different states were doing different things, and it became such a fiasco. The federal government jumped in and said, we're going to mandate this. In 1966, they put this Uniform Time Act together. So states are not allowed to stay on daylight savings time by law. They're not allowed to do it. The acts said that states either have to, quote, change the clocks to daylight savings time at a specified time and day, or stay with standard time throughout the year. But you can't stay on daylight savings time. You can switch back and forth, or you can stay on standard time. Well, the only power, they say, states or territories have under the Act of 1966 is to opt out of daylight savings time altogether if they choose, putting them on standard time permanently. So just so you know, that's what Arizona, Hawaii, Guam, American Samoa, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands have done. Okay? They simply say, look, we're going to go to standard time, and we're going to stay there. They're not allowed to go to daylight savings time and stay there. Any proposals that would establish, quote, permanent daylight savings time would require Congress to amend the 1966 Act I'm speaking of. Believe it or not, the U.S. first implemented daylight savings time during World War II as a way to conserve fuel. And that was an outgrowth, listen carefully, as part of the Standard Time Act of 1918. They've been messing with our time and controlling our time and manipulating what states can do regarding time since 1918. And then in World War II, it got changed and updated. And then in 1966, it got absolutely codified by the feds. And states have been at the behest of the feds over this for literally my whole lifetime. I was born a year later, and I'm 53 years old, okay? They also had that 1918 thing. It was also called the Calder Act, just so you guys know. But after World War II, Congress abolished summer daylight savings at the federal level. So see, what they did is they abolished the daylight savings time. That's why states can't stick on its standard. In other words, they can't move to it, and that become the standard. You got to go to standard time, which is not daylight time. You can do that, but you can't do daylight. They say, although it remained a local option if you wanted to stay on standard time, not daylight savings time, or if you wanted to go back and forth, with some states continuing to observe it. Now, believe it or not, listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. So I've told you how they've been messing with the time at the federal level for quite some, pardon the pun, time, right? All right, well, it gets worse because not only have they made acts about it in 1918 and World War II and in 1966, but listen to this. The Department of Transportation, which is in charge of all time zones in the United States. Did you know the Department of Transportation was in charge of all time zones in the United States? They say daylight savings time conserves energy, saves lives by preventing traffic accidents. It reduces crime. Proponents of year-round daylight savings time say that it balances morning and evening daylight, making it easier for folks to get the sleep they need, etc. Believe it or not, a coalition of bipartisan senators now reintroduced a bill on Tuesday to make daylight savings time permanent, thereby ending the need to change the clocks. So there you have it. You know, it's a debate that'll go on forever. I don't know that I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that we'll get much done on this. I think Congress is just too paralyzed and they have too much of a socialist communist agenda to focus on this. But I am in favor of jettisoning the move the clocks back and forth plan. And I would move to daylight savings time and make that the standard. And then personally, as a separate note, I would reduce the number of time zones across America. I'd create an Eastern and a Western time zone. I'd make them probably 2 hours apart, and I would have everybody on daylight savings time year round. So you would not change the clocks twice a year. You would only have two time zones in the lower 48, if you will, or contiguous states. And you would have two time zones, not four, 2 hours apart or maybe 3 hours apart. And I would just call it good. And it would simplify things a ton. But it's going to take an act of Congress. Pardon the pun. It might even be closer to an act of God to get this done. I pray they do because it would make things a lot better for everybody. It would save a lot of money, simplify life for Americans. But it's going to be a tough road to hoe because if you're going to depend on Congress for that, wow. Our prayers are that we can simplify something in America, don't you think? Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. I am Sam Bushman. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. We do need your generous donations to continue. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net for live and on-demand radio free. But donate to your heart's content, please. And every penny will be used to grow our ability to tell the tale of liberty. I am Sam Bushman, and I declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. But you got to get involved, repent, choose the right, make it a great day. We're counting on you, ladies and gentlemen. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.